Man, I love to worship the Lord with you. I love to feel His presence and to be here with you and feel His presence. I'm glad that you're with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. I want you to know that we invite you to be a part of the Wylie Methodist family. We'd love for you to consider this your church home. You know, there's lots of good churches in Abilene, Texas, and we're not for everybody. But I think we're a pretty good church. I really do. I really do. And the church isn't the building. The church is, you know, take your finger, index finger. Everybody take your index finger and point. That's the church. That's the church. So I'm glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but sure would love to know that you were here. You can put your email address down there and check the little box that you'd like to be added to our email list. I want to remind you, I've got a new email program that I've heard that is still sending to the trash, and I don't need any comments from anybody. It's still sending my emails to the trash. You have to mark it. In some cases, you might have to go find that and mark it as not trash. Now, okay, and you can fill in the joke right there. It's okay. It's okay. But hope you feel the love of Christ in this place and the love of His people. Matthew 28, if you'll turn with me there. Matthew 28. This is Jesus. He has been resurrected. He's gone to the cross. He's been resurrected, and he's coming to the end of His time on earth. And He gives this, what we have come to know as the Great Commission, to His church. Verse 16, Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Now, I want to stop a second. Who do we worship? We worship God. Now, if you ever hear somebody say that Jesus or nobody in the biblical times ever claimed that Jesus was God, well, just open up the Bible and just start reading. Right here. They worshiped Him. They recognized Him as God. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," what do when you see therefore? You go back to see what it was there for. He's saying that, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, then you do something in response to that. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You are welcome here. In all honesty, Lord, nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. So speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I conclude the sermon series, Wylie Methodist Exists 2. This is week 3 of that message, and this is our purpose statement as a church. Now, sometimes people have, in businesses and so forth, they'll have these mission statements or whatever, and they type it up, and it's this paragraph. They might put it on the wall or whatever, and then everybody goes on about their business and does things just the way that they always have and pay no attention to that. But this, I truly believe that the reason this church exists, the reason really any church should exist, is this purpose statement. For week 1, Wylie Methodist exists, and the first week was we exist to love God. And we understand, if you'll go back 2 weeks ago, you can go in our app or our website and catch up with any of these sermons you want. But what we basically said was loving God is it begins with understanding how He loves us. Too many times in the church, we think that it's the Christian life is about being good. And here's what happens when, if that is our mentality, if that is our theological understanding of God being good, guess what happens? We fail. Because we know our thoughts are not always good. We know that our actions are not always good. So we understand, to understand how we love God, it's in response to how He loves us. And He's proven His love for us when He sent Jesus to hang on a cross for us. I tell people that all the time that come to me and something has gone on in their life. Maybe they've done something that they're ashamed of. First of all, shame doesn't come from God. Shame comes from the enemy. So if you're feeling shame, you need to automatically, right there, that's not from God. Conviction is from God, but shame is from the enemy. And so when they come to me and with those things, I tell them that all the time. It's like, well, guess what? That's why Jesus hung on a cross. Because we mess up. So we exist to love God, which starts with knowing how much He loves us. Secondly, we exist to love people. To love people. God demonstrates His love for us, how we love other people. That proves our love authentic, if you will. I tell you, people, if you are an angry, bitter Christian, let me just tell you, you're not going to attract anybody to that. No one has ever been attracted to a church of bitter, angry people. We love people. We exist to love people. And that is proves our faith authentic. And then today, we exist to offer Christ. We exist to offer Christ. Now, if you take all three of these different statements of our purpose statement, they are the great commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not a suggestion. That Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment in all of the law? And that's what Jesus said. He quoted from the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wiley Methodists exist, hopefully, to do those things. And then we get into today, which is the Great Commission. We have the Great Commandment to love God, love people. And then we have the Great Commission, tell somebody about it. I mean, it's not ours to consume and put in our pocket. Tell somebody about it. If we're not, and it doesn't mean you have to go up and down the street knocking on doors and go, hey, I'll tell you about Jesus. That's not the way that we have to be, have to evangelize. Let people see it in your life. And I promise you, if people see something different in you, they will come to you when they have problems in their life. I saw it in my own life before I became a pastor. I used to be in the computer business, and I would, you know, I knew it was time to get out of the computer business when I was more concerned about the person behind the computer than I was about helping them with their computer. And people would come to me because they saw something different in me. And they would come to me and go, man, I'm having problems in my marriage, or I'm thinking about these things or whatever. What do you, you know, can you help me? And so we offer Christ. Now, I'm gonna talk quite a bit today about John Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist faith. And I want to say something before I even start. John Wesley was a great man. We can learn so much from his story, and he was a very passionate man of God. But John Wesley, if he were standing right here, would tell you this exact same thing. John Wesley didn't hang on a cross for me or you. So don't mistake, as I celebrate different aspects of John Wesley's life, I'm not placing him in the Savior's role, and he would not want that. There's this offer Christ, where that comes from, it kind of ties back to our Methodist heritage, which nowadays, you know, is sometimes some things we can be proud of and some things not so much. But this part we can. Back in the 1700s, there's actually a painting of this moment. See if you can throw that up there, Lee. This painting that was captured by a man named Kenneth Wyatt that actually lives in Tulia, Texas. Great artist, and he's kind of capturing this story. Let me read to you kind of a description of this picture. offer them Christ is the entitlement of this picture. It says, offer them Christ is a depiction of an elderly John Wesley bidding farewell to Thomas Coke, which was a man that would come to America to help start the church. Thomas Coke, as Coke is departing for America. Coke, along with Francis Asbury, will convene a meeting in Philadelphia in 1784 that will establish the Methodist Church in America. There are all kinds of things that Wesley could have said to Coke as the boat is shoving off. He could have given him administrative advice. Wesley could have cautioned Coke about some of the obstacles that Wesley himself had met in America. But what he said was simple, basic, fundamental, offer them Christ. And Wesley journaled this in his own personal journal, this moment where he's sending off Thomas Coke to America. And Wesley, knowing that he's coming to the end of his life, he will not be traveling back to America. Offer them Christ. Wesley never engaged in demographic studies. He didn't form focus groups. I don't recall Wesley ever calling on the services of an outside consultant. He didn't wring his hands and moan about nickels and noses. That's a preacher thing, nickels and noses. He didn't sit in his rocker and pine about the way things used to be. He understood human beings to be fallen, sinful creatures, having diagnosed the condition. He had but one treatment for this malady. Offer them Christ. That's it. That's all he told him. Offer them Christ. Summer before last, Cheryl and I took a vacation. I was going to Duke to finish my studies at the seminary there, and we were in Philadelphia, and we went there to see like Liberty Hall, and Independence Hall, I think they call it, and the Liberty Bell and all the things, you know, the history of our nation and all. And we're just kind of driving around in that area. And lo and behold, we just kind of drove up on this building. Go ahead and show that picture, Lee. This building, it was about, I guess it was a couple of blocks probably from Liberty Hall there. And go ahead and go to that next slide. This is what that building is. St. George's Church. And you can kind of read it there. It's America's oldest Methodist church edifice, having been in continuous use since 1769. The first three Methodist conferences were held there, and so on and so forth. This is where Coke and Asbury came to this church and began to spread the gospel. Now, it was interesting to me anyway that I didn't know anything about that history. I mean, we're just driving along. It's like St. George's United Methodist Church. What's that? And so we started reading. It's like God was showing me that offer them Christ. They fulfilled that. They came to America, and the circuit riders went out and began to share the hope that we have in Christ. So I want to say this as we start looking at what does it mean to offer Christ and how do we do that? I want to make this statement. To be a Christian is not about a religion or traditions to follow and practice. I want that to soak in for just a second. So many times, again, my paraphrase of that is it's not about being good. It's not about doing something just the right way. The Christian life is not about a religion or traditions to follow or practice. It's about a Savior to adore. Hello. Is anybody listening? Amen. It's about a Savior to adore. Until you understand who Christ is and what He's done for you, then we're just going through motions. We're just going through traditions and practice. Like, well, I don't know. Why are you doing that? I don't know. What mom and dad said to do. Why do you go to church? I don't know. To be good? To be a Christian? I don't know. No, it's about a Savior to adore because He adores us. To offer Christ, first thing, to offer Christ, we must believe in Jesus, the Christ, through faith. We must believe in Jesus, the Christ, through faith. Now, that word Christ, I want us to understand, we say it together, Jesus Christ, and we don't really grasp Jesus Christ, that we must believe in Him, not just as this man. You'll hear that. There's even other religions will say Jesus existed, that there was this Jesus, and many times you'll hear, He was a good man, He was a prophet, He was a... No! He was the Christ! He was the anointed one of God. He was God made flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. We must understand who Christ is. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Christ. Jesus is talking to Peter and the other disciples, and he says, who do the people say that I am? And they start naming out, well, some say you're John the Baptist reincarnated, some say you're Elijah, some say this and some say that. And he says, but what about you? What he's really kind of saying is, okay, they got their opinions. What do you think? What do you believe? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, I want to tell you that you'll find some pastors, perhaps, that will disagree with this. Some people believe that he's saying, I will found the church on Peter. No. The church is founded on Jesus is the Christ. That is what the gates of hell will not go against that. It cannot penetrate that. Amen. Cannot overcome it. Jesus is the Christ. And whatever you're facing in your life, many of you stood up earlier when we were praying, whatever any of us are facing in our life, Jesus is the Christ. Greater is he that is within me than he is within the world. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ. The anointed one, the Savior of the world, God made flesh. We must, if we don't understand that, church, we have nothing to share. Hello? If we don't get that, we got nothing. I mean, we can say, hey, come to Wiley Methodist, we got a really cool children's ministry. Well, that's great and fine and dandy. But if you don't have Christ, you can go to playgrounds and have fun with other kids. If we don't have that understanding that Jesus is the Christ, we got nothing to share. If somebody, I'm just telling you, if you want $1 million and you come to me wanting $1 million, you're out of luck. Because I don't have it. And if I don't have it, I can't share it. We must, to offer Christ, we must have Christ. Does that make sense? Man, so it seems like basic stuff, but we miss it. Secondly, to offer Christ, we must be transformed by his love. Something must have happened in us through Christ. I love this, the story of Saul, who later became Paul, on the road to Damascus. Saul is a I preached on this a few months ago that God can pinpoint, he knows passion. Even if the passion is against him, he knows people of passion. And Saul was this man of passion, and he was a devout Jew, and he saw the church, the Christian church, as this enemy of the Jewish faith. And so he was out to imprison or to have killed every Christian. That was his goal in life. Until he met the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. His eyes were open. He was transformed by the love of Christ. And suddenly that passion shifted from being against the church to being its greatest advocate. In fact, the other Christians were, when he'd show up and want to preach the gospel, they were like, whoa, 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 hey, isn't this a dude that's like killing all the Christians? Isn't this a dude that's throwing Christians in prison? Isn't that this guy? So it took him a while to gain trust where people would even entertain him, even let him into their homes. You must be transformed by his love. Now, so again, John Wesley. John Wesley, I love his story. I learned so much from his story. He was one in the 1700s. He was one of 19 children. Wouldn't you like to have been Mama Wesley? Now, this is no lie. You can go back and find this in journals and stuff. Suzanne Wesley was his mother. John Wesley's father was a pastor. And Suzanne Wesley was a devout, disciplined person of the faith. She prayed so many hours a day, and she would read the scripture so many hours a day, and she was teaching that to her children. But there was a time when Mama said, "This is Mama's time, and I don't want anybody to bother me." And the way she would do that, she would sit on her chair in the kitchen, and she would get her apron and put it up over her head. And that's when the kids knew, Mom's having her quiet time. Mom's having her quiet time. And that's the home he was raised in. And John Wesley became, I mean, he was a believer. He had some knowledge up here, and he was trying to, if you will, earn his way into heaven. And he was, man, this guy, I mean, he prayed and he read his scripture, which are all good things. He served the poor. He would go into prisons and places that nobody else would go. And he's serving and he's doing all of these wonderful things and everything. He came to America. He failed miserably. He tucks his tail between his legs. He runs back to England in shame. And he's failing at his ministry. And then May the 24th, 1738 happened. Let me read from his journal. I think I might have put it in your handout. "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street." Has anybody ever gone? Come on. Anybody ever come to church very unwillingly? I would say yes, but I'm the preacher. I'm paid to be here. Now, sometimes we just don't feel like it, and many times the enemy is trying to divert us from things that God wants to bless us. "He went very unwilling to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the epistles to the Romans." So in other words, Martin Luther had written this commentary on Romans, and they're reading that. "About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Jesus, in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed." What was that? That was the Holy Spirit. John Wesley had been in the ministry for years, decades, and he didn't know the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the Spirit. "I felt my heart strangely warmed, and I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation." What does it mean when we talk about salvation? It means we're lost in need of salvation. Somebody needs to save us here. We're a mess. "I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for our salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me," there it is again, "from the law of sin and death." Now, I want to tell you, and this is not a boastful statement, in fact, just the opposite, but I want to say it anyway, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And it's not because of Jeff Hatcher, it's in spite of Jeff Hatcher. It's because Jesus took nails for Jeff Hatcher. I'm going to be there. The Spirit of God, if you'll look at Romans 8, 16, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He gives, and that's what was happening to John Wesley. This assurance was given to him that the stuff he'd been preaching for decades, serving this God with no power, suddenly an assurance was given to him personally. You know what, John? You're going to heaven. I've saved you from your sins. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So if you don't have that assurance, if you don't, and I'm telling you, if somebody asks you, if you do have that assurance, if somebody says, "Are you going to heaven when you die?" Please don't say, "I hope so." I mean, that's really very common because we want to portray ourselves as humble, and we don't want people to think we're being cocky and arrogant. And all. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be in heaven, and it's not because I'm cocky or arrogant. It's because I know what Jesus did for me. So if we don't have that assurance, please come seek me out. Let's talk. Let's pray. Let's open the Word together. Finally, to offer Christ, we must share our story. We must share our story. As I said earlier, you can't share something you don't have. So So if we don't have that assurance that Christ has died for us and that he's died for the entire world, and we don't have that assurance for ourselves, then just like John Wesley, he was trying. It was I just kind of get this image of him bobbing up and down in this lake, and underneath, and he's just going to town with those legs, and he's going nowhere until he is filled with the Spirit. You can't share something you don't have yourself. Now, in Mark chapter 5, we got to see this, several of us that got to go to the Holy Lands in 2010. We got to go out on to the Sea of Galilee, which is really just, it's a big lake. And on the far side of the lake was these cliffs. It's the only cliffs surrounding, y'all remember that? Remember that? Show your hands. These cliffs, and the tour guide said, we believe that that's the cliffs that the pigs fell off of, that Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, and they ran off the cliff. You know the story, Mark chapter 5. And he said, that's got to be it, because that's the only cliffs all the way around the lake. That's got to be where it happened, which I thought was really cool. So Jesus has cast the demons into these pigs. They run off, and the man who's been captured by these demons, and he's free. He's been freed, and here he wants to go with Jesus. Listen to this: as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. He's just like, man, look what Jesus did for me. I just want to go. I just want to be with you. And here's what Jesus said: Jesus did not let him go, but said, go home to your family. Go home to your family and tell them what I've done for you. Go. We share Jesus. Offer Jesus. Because he's the only thing that changes things. You know, we so many times, you know, we think that, you know, medications or psychiatrists or self-help books, or if we just get the right, just read the right article, or if we just talk to the right person, we just get the right advice, or we just this, that everything's going to be okay. No, Jesus is the only thing that changes things. And he transforms us. Again, John Wesley, right after he had his Aldersgate experience where his heart was strangely warmed and he had assurance that he himself was saved, here's what he wrote in his journal right after that. I began to pray with all my might for those who had in a more special manner despitefully used me and persecuted me. He began to pray for those who had hurt him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly he begins to pray for those who have hurt him. And then testified openly to all there what I now first felt in my heart. When we encounter Jesus and he transforms us, I don't know about you, I mean, and I felt this way long before I became a pastor. That's why I am a pastor. But long before I became a pastor, I just want people to know what Jesus did for me. I just want him to know, want people to know how he plucked me from the jaws of sin and death. I mean, he literally plucked me out of hell itself and saved me. I say this all the time, that when I came to that moment, that strangely warmed moment, I knew that I what I deserved was wrath, God's wrath, but I received his mercy. Isn't that good? Isn't that good stuff? When my brother was killed a few years ago, and we went out, it was about 3 weeks later was his birthday, and I've told this story before, but we went out to his place, and we're trying to just kind of survive that day together as a family. And I remember I was just standing out there at his ranch, and I'm looking around, and I see all this stuff that Jay left behind, his workshop and his horse and his guitars and his guns and his tools and all his pickup, and everything's right there. And I'm just, man, my heart was just aching, along with everybody else that loved Jay, and it's just aching. And I was just like, I don't know if I can even take another breath. I'm hurting so bad. And I really remember very clearly the Lord speaking to my heart, saying, Jeff, what you're feeling right now, this hurt, this grief, this brokenness that you're feeling right now, people are feeling that all over the place. They're everywhere. The world is made up of people hurting just like that all over the place for different reasons. I want you to give them the hope of Christ because Christ changes things. He came, Jesus said he had come to heal the brokenhearted, to make us whole. Christ is the only hope of a hurting and lost world. He's it, and we have the answer. I mean, I've said this before, but if we have a vial of the cure for cancer that could take away all cancer in the whole world, if we have it, and we have it in a vial, and we stick it in our pocket just in case we might need it sometime, and we don't share it with anyone, is that love? If we have Jesus, and we don't share him with anybody, is that love? The Great Commission, go and make disciples, offer them Christ. Wiley Methodist Church, we exist to love God, love people, and to offer Christ. You know, as I was preparing for communion today, as I was thinking through this service, here's what was the word remember. Just kind of was penetrating my mind and my heart, and what that meant to me was I was thinking back, you know, this when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, it was the Passover meal, and so many years before that moment, we know the story. Charlton Heston was leading the people out of Egypt. Or was it Moses? I think it was Moses. And they, God said, take this innocent lamb, your best lamb, and sacrifice the lamb, and take some of the lamb's blood and paint it over the doorpost of your home. And when that happens, when you do that, and when death passes through the city, it will pass over your house. And you will be saved. And so for, well, I mean, how long was it? Where's Marv at? Was it 2,000 years? Around 2,000 years, wasn't it? Am I getting that right? From the original Passover to the last, wasn't it around 2,000 years? I thought I had that right. So for 2,000 years, the Jewish people are celebrating Passover. And what God said is, remember this day. Remember how, because of the blood of the Lamb, death passed over your home. And how I led you out of bondage into freedom. Remember it. So for 2,000 years, that's what they'd been doing. And then Jesus changed the script. He said, now I'm the Lamb of God. It's my blood that's going to take away the sins of the world. And I will cause death to pass over anyone who has my blood painted over their doorway, their heart. And I will lead you out of sin and death into freedom. And isn't it interesting how God told the Israelites, remember this day. And what did Jesus say to the disciples? When you take of this meal, remember me. You know, we make it all really complicated and we've set all kinds of rules and stuff that, you know, oh, you're supposed to do it like this and not like that and all these kinds of things. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, do it and remember me. So we come to this table as a broken people. And Jesus said, you know what? Let my body be broken instead of yours. And he said, as the Lamb of God, let my blood be shed instead of yours. And he said, when you partake of this meal, remember that. Remember that. So, if you just take a moment, bow your heads, and just in your own heart, I invite you to confess your own personal sins to God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, your sins are forgiven, church. Amen. I want to invite the sound team, the praise team, and those serving to please come and be served at this time. So the invitation to this table comes from the Lord, not from me or from our church. It comes from the Lord. You are invited to this table if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you repent of your sins, you are invited to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If Christ is your Lord, you are welcome to come. You're also, I hope that you'll feel welcome to come, but you're not required to come. That's your choice either way. There's two stations here and two stations over here. You'll be given a piece of bread. You dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. If you'd like to be served with the individual cup, the individual piece of bread, come to this center aisle. Christ invites us. Come.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
church, you have Christ. Now go and offer him. Be blessed. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Jesus, we